So we're wrapping up then this week, the series that we've been in. We've been in a three-week series called Create Contentment. And the idea behind this series has been that Christmas is coming. And since Christmas is coming, often when we think of Christmas, we think of stress and we think of how busy it's going to be. We think, I really want to celebrate it well this year. I really want to do this. And I don't know how many of you start thinking about what do you have to light up still, and what decorations still need to come up, and how are we going to what parties do we need to plan, and how are we going to do that if we're already doing this, and how are we going to manage everything? And this family wants to come and spend this time, or this family wants you to get home for this time, or whatever. It all of a sudden the whole season is so busy and crazy and costs so much money, and you get through that time, you're like, what am I supposed to do with this season? How am I supposed to handle this? January hits me like, oh, finally, a break from Christmas, the birth of Jesus, you know, the birth of Jesus, the big thing that happens in the year. We're like, that was too much for me. You know, I don't even know if I remember Jesus in that season. I'm not sure if I got to spend much time with my family. I was too busy, too stressed. It cost me too much money. It took too much time, and all of that stuff. And so we're talking about prepping up for that and creating contentment in you ahead of time. Ahead of time, so that you don't have to necessarily feel all of those same pressures. You don't have to necessarily feel all of that same challenge. I really believe that God actually wants contentment for your life. God actually wants you to walk in a way that you're not anxious. In fact, I'm pretty sure he does, since he says it many times in Scripture. He doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to be anxious and jumping around from one thing, stressing about the next thing while you're in this thing. He wants you to be here and now, to be content in this moment. He wants you to walk in peace in the place that you're at, because he'll give you peace in the place that you're going as well. God wants you to walk that way. And so we're talking about how we can start to have that for our Christmas season. The first week we said that part of our challenge with contentment is that we think we need more than we actually need. Sometimes we have a want column and a need column, and things from our need column need to move to our want column. And God can start to define for us what we actually need to be content. Because really we just need him. Paul showed us that week that a lot of things can happen in your life, and if you don't have Christ, then you're not going to be content. But a lot of negative things can happen in your life, and if you do have Christ, then you will be content. And so we opened that up and said that peace or that contentment is going to come not when we trust God to meet all of our needs alone, but when we trust God to actually define what our needs actually are. What actually do we need, God? What actually do we need to have this Christmas season? What party do I need to be a part of? What decorations do I need to have? What family do I need to see? What food do I need to eat so that I will feel that Christmas spirit? You know, that contentment that comes. What will it be, God? And God's going to set those needs for you. Then the second week, which was last week, we talked about, now that your needs have been redefined a little bit, God says, not only do I want to redefine your needs, but I want to create margin for you. I want you to see that even what you have, you already have more than you need. You already have more than you need once you tap into my blessings for you, my life for you, my provision for you. And we talked about that our peace will be found when we run at God's pace. And God's pace for us, there's a couple pacemakers in the Bible. One's called Sabbath and one's called tithe. And God basically in that said, hey, there's a 7-day work week. Work 6 of them, and I'll actually make you more efficient in those 6 and provide more productivity in those 6 than you could have if you worked all 7. The Sabbath, we don't know. I'm not saying Sabbath is that now, and you can look back at the sermon if you want to know more, but that was one of the pacemakers. And then the other pacemaker was the tithe, where God said, now give to me 10%, give the church 10%, give to the poor 10% of what you make. And when you give that 10%, I will actually provide more than that 10% back to you, because you trust me and you love me. You're not putting your trust in your money, but you're putting it in me. And so we created this margin in our lives where we said, I don't need everything. And even what I do need, I can have margin even with what I'm making currently. Where I'm at right now in my current situation, I can actually have margin between my needs and my provision to carry those out. And so we're heading on into this week with that in mind, that we've learned what it takes to gain some margin in our lives. We're heading into this week, me with the assumption that you are starting to put some of those principles into place in your life, that you're walking into this room at peace. I hope you're feeling at peace. Anyone feeling at peace today? If you're not, God's got it for you too. Okay, clap? Okay, we can clap. We are starting to know what it is to walk in peace and walk in contentment with Christ. And so we all come in here with this margin. Last week, I also wrapped up this with this one chunk of scripture. And as Jesus is warning to this particular fellow, or the story of a particular farmer. And the farmer in Luke 12, the farmer, is he has this one bumper year. You know, he gets a really big yield in his crop this one year. And so he's got lots of stuff, lots of blessing. And it actually says he's got too much for his barn. He can't even fit it all in his barn. And so it's flowing out of his barn. You just picture this moment of it just coming out and expanding beyond even his expectation, beyond what he could have provided for himself, and beyond what he can now store for himself. And so at this point is where I feel like we are at as a church. Where it's at this point that we have to decide what we're going to do, because it's at that point that we either become, we either walk in greed or in gratitude. It's at that point where we decide if we're thankful for what we see and we recognize that God is overflowing our barns, or if we decide like the farmer did, that I don't have time for Thanksgiving. I need to build a bigger barn to fit all my stuff. I need to take care of my stuff. And so this is where we are as a church. We've got margin in our life. We've got contentment. We recognize our needs aren't as great as we originally thought they were. But then in the midst of that, God starts pouring out. God starts giving. You start to recognize little things in your life. You start to recognize the overflow in your life. And you make one of two decisions, either to walk in gratitude or to walk in greed. I want more. I want more. I'll make more space. I'll keep more for myself. I'll do this. Or gratitude actually starts to move us towards generosity, because we say, God, look at the overflow. Look at what you've done. I can't believe it. Thank you so much. This is what you're capable of. Wow. This is awesome. God, thank you for this. Now, since this is a gift from you, how do you want me to use it? Sometimes when that overflow comes in our life, we think, oh, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I will never get an overflow again. I better build up my barn to preserve this for years. I'll preserve this blessing for years. I'll store up this blessing for myself for years, because I don't know if this could ever happen again. Church, I want you to know that God who provides abundantly today will provide abundantly tomorrow. The God who takes care of you with an overflow today will take care of you with an overflow tomorrow. You're never, if you walk in God's way, you're never going to have big enough barns. You're not meant to live your life building bigger barns and trying to create more space so you can store more of God's blessing for yourself. If you're walking in this way with God, he's going to pour out into your life, not just financially. He's going to pour out with peace. He's going to pour out with time. He's going to pour out in efficiency and productivity in your life. He's going to pour out in relationships. You're going to be blessed and rich in these things. And as you continue to walk in that way, you have to decide, am I going to spend my whole life trying to figure out how to hoard all of this for myself, or am I going to spend my whole life figuring out how to move this overflow to other people to bless them? Are you, when you receive something from Christ, is it for you to hold or for you to give? That's what we have to decide. Is it for your greed or your gratitude at this point? Is it for you to keep or to move along? Is it for generosity or for keeping for yourself? So this farmer ends up building barns. And Jesus says, that was a waste. That guy's going to die. And all of the stuff that he had is going to go to no one. All of the surplus. It's not even just all of his needs. All of the surplus. All of the beyond his needs is going to go to no one. What a waste. What a waste it was. God doesn't give so we can have. God gives so we can give. He gives to us so that we can give away. He gives to us so that we can push it out to other people, so that we can care for other people, so that we can look after other people. God, it's amazing to me. This morning I was thinking about that, how God could bless every single person in the Comox Valley and have us do nothing about it. He could start to pour out blessing into every household all over this Comox Valley, and every person could have abundance. Every person could have lots of money. Every person could have lots of stuff. Every person, I think God is capable of that. He's unlimited in his provision. He's able to give more and more to every person, and yet he does it through us. And yet he's willing to do it through us because that opens two things. It opens relationship between us and him. As he pours into us, we see, wow, God, it keeps coming. You still got more. You still got more life for me. You still got more joy for me. I thought I was happy enough. You've got more. I thought I was rich enough. You've got greater. You know, I thought I had everything I need. Look at all this stuff. Wow, what a relationship. God, you keep pouring into me. And it also opens up the relationship between us and other people because now we get to be that for someone else. What does it do for a relationship when you start saying, I want to give to you. I want to bless you. I want to care for you. I want to pour out into your life. I believe in you. All of a sudden, that relationship starts growing. God could just throw out blessing to everyone, and the way it goes, it can fall with the snow and everyone's all good. But God chooses to come through us who have chosen him. Bless us so that we can give it out. If we hoard it for ourselves, we're stealing from other people the blessing that God has for them. God has given it to us so that we would give it out. I don't know who has kids in the room today. I've got kids, and I seem to talk about them fairly regularly, but that's because there's sermon illustrations waiting to happen all the time, my kids. But I noticed this one funny thing that happens with my kids. And they'll be hanging out. You know, we've got these two bumblebees in our house, and they're these bumblebees with like caster wheels on the bottom. And Hardy's like drives those like NASCAR down the hallway, and he cruises on those things. But then he'll come and park his bumblebee once in a while, and he'll go and do something else. So he goes and finds something else to do, and he occupies his time over here. He could be over there for like an hour, but if one of his sisters shows up and sits on the bee, he comes running back, no, give me the bee, and he'll like rip it out from under them. Nola hits her head or something. We're like, what are you doing, son? Why are you tearing the bee out of your little sister's body? Like, why did you just do that to her? And he's like, I'm using that. I'm like, no, you're not, son. You actually literally weren't. Using it means using it. If you're not using it, you're not using it. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And he would have left it for hours. And yet there's this sense that he's still, like, it's like he's holding, I might need it at some point. I know I'm having fun, but I might stop having fun. So when I stop having fun, that better be there for me to have fun, or else someone's going to pay, and it's going to be my little sister. And we sometimes do that with the blessings of God, don't we? We say, listen, I know I've got enough for right now. I know I'm okay right now, but I might not soon. It might be soon that I'm going to have to reach back and grab that thing. And so it better not move on me. It better stay right there, because if I have to come back, I'm going to come and it just better be there when I get back. And we think, what a childish thing to think. You're not using it. It's not, you don't need it right now. You're okay over here. But we're so afraid or so insecure that maybe it might disappear on me. Maybe that I might not be provided for next time. I'll say, Hardy, why would you take that bee anyways? You weren't using it. He says, it's mine. Well, Hardy, it's actually not yours. We bought it for Isabella. We did. So it's actually, yo, it's mine. Okay, it's yours. Have the house, you know, take it all. It's mine. It's got, and so eventually we're like, okay, Hardy, when did you get your last paycheck? You know, let's be honest here. You haven't worked for anything in your life, boy. So if you have any toy, it's not yours. If you have a toy, it's actually probably a birthday gift. It's probably a birthday gift. And so even what you call yours was a gift in the first place. And you're trying to hoard the gift for yourself. You're trying to keep the gift for yourself. Well, gifts are given for you to be, when you know it's a gift, when you recognize it's a gift, when you recognize that what you have didn't actually come from you, and when you trust the giver to continue to give, you can be freer to be generous with that thing. Hardy, that was never yours. You have been given abundantly more than you deserve for considering how much you work. And we'll continue to do it. We'll continue to pour out. We'll continue to love. We'll continue to give you more heart. No doubt, but we want to teach you that when we give you a gift, you can share it. And when I see Hardy do that, do you know what I want to do? I want to give him way less. If I see Hardy go, here you go, Nola. Here you go, Izzy. And then he has nothing. I'm heading out and I'm buying a bee that day. You just blessed your siblings. I'll take care of you, son. You want this one? Yes, yours. Here you go. Take it. You want, have my car. You know, just go for it. I'll give him any. Like when he blesses my kids, when he looks after my kids, when he takes care of my kids, then I want to figure out how I can bless him. Even though I started the blessing loop, he carries it on to the next, and I'm going to fill it. God is the same with us. God started it. We already have lots of gifts, but if we'll learn that the overflow in our life, when it moves out and empties us, when we learn that God fills us, all of a sudden we start to make that happen a little more readily. We start to push the overflow out. We don't figure out, how am I going to make more barns and preserve this for the day that I might need it? We instead start to look around and say, who actually does need it right now that I can take care of? Because my God is going to take care of me. You know, we start to think in this limited mentality. If I only have this much, I need to make it last the rest of my life because God might die or something. But instead, God's given me too much for today. Guess what he'll give you if you give that away? Too much tomorrow. Too much the next day. Too much the next day. God is a good God that will bless you abundantly more than you need, abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. But we sometimes forget that the gift is from him. We sometimes don't think that we're rich. We sometimes don't think that we have enough to give. And so to speak to that, I'd love to show you a little video. There it is. I think.
I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah! Oh, yeah! Hey, Christine! You're here too! Mm-hmm. I love you!
I know!
Dad! What's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming, it goes on and off! Whatever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Ah, shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food.
I love food. What? A briefcase? You
gonna
have work?
Yeah.
This is awesome. Look, listen here.
The what?
Jack, be careful!
Oh. I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
A car!
And don't forget your coffee!
You're the best.
sort of rings true, I think. Every morning we have an opportunity to recognize what God has done in our lives, or not. We have an opportunity to have gratitude or to have greed. Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 12, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." So life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. He says, watch out for it. Lots of other sins in your life are a lot easier to see. It's easy to see if you lied. It's easy to see if you cheated on a test. It's easy to see if you had an affair or stole something or broke into someone's car. It's easier to see those things. But greed is harder to recognize. Greed is harder to see. I've never had someone come to me and confess their sin of greed. Hey, pastor, listen, I need to confess something. I'm greedy. Welcome to the club. Like everyone. But we all need to be on guard, be aware. Where are we being greedy? Why? Because greed will stop the flow of the blessing that God has for this Comox Valley. Greed will keep his blessing to us and keep it from moving out to others. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." Plenty left over to share with others. You know, I was thinking about this week, about what in my life currently, where is the overflow? You know, where is there too much in my life? What do I have what blessing has God given to me has overflown in my life that I'm not willing to share? One of the things that I sort of realized this week is, so once in a while, I don't know about you, but once in a while we end up cleaning out our fridge and there's a whole bunch of leftovers in our fridge. And we're like throwing leftover food in the garbage. And sometimes you make enough food and you think, well, this will be good for that meal, or down the road or a little later, that'll be good. We'll be able to use that there. And then we just don't. We provide for ourselves into the future when some people need provision in the present. Maybe if we had too much food for that day, it should have been a day we invite someone over for dinner. Maybe it's a day we bring them along into our house and say, hey, come and join us. I think we have too much. We don't want leftovers. We want to take care of you. We want to look after you. We want you to know that you're cared for and blessed today, because we seem to have an overflow in our lives. We seem to have too much in our lives. Maybe you have a whole bunch of possessions. You know, you're someone who's got all the best tools. You're someone who's got all the right stuff, and you hear a message like this and think, "Oh, great! Am I supposed to give away all my tools?" No, you're not. But maybe you are supposed to lend them out once in a while. Maybe God has provided over and above for you where you have all of this stuff and you think, oh, I'm so glad I have that random tool over there that I never use in case 50 years down the road I might have a need. But someone might come up to you and say, I have a need today. You say, no, that's mine. God can provide for your needs. I've got my own thing. Maybe that overflow is what's supposed to be generous in that situation. We're supposed to give in that time. It's supposed to speak into that life for that very moment. Maybe it's clothing. Look in your closet and think, oh, I've got too much stuff. I don't know. Like, if you got piles of clothes all over your house, this often happens for us. Piles of clothes all over your house. Think, oh, I just don't know how I can keep up with all of the laundry. I don't know how I can do all this. This one's speaking to us. I don't know how I'm going to handle all of these things. I just have too many clothes. Duh. Get rid of some. Share. Give some. You've got an abundance. You're trying to figure out, how am I going to do more laundry? How am I going to get bigger closets? How am I going to stop building bigger barns and start giving away the overflow? Start sharing the overflow. Start investing into other people. Instead of trying to figure out how you're going to hoard more of your stuff, I need a bigger house for all of my stuff. Maybe you just need less stuff in a smaller house, tiny house. I don't know about tiny house, but. Everyone move into tiny houses. End of discussion. No. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:11 to 12, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that. It matters where that "so that" lands, by the way. Often we put it before. I will do this so that I will be enriched in every way. But the Bible always says you will be enriched in every way so that. So that always follows after the enrichment, not before. In other words, you can't do anything to earn it, but you better do something with it. So that you can always be generous. And when we take our gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Both, they will receive it, and their needs will be taken care of. That's good, though there's a spiritual element to generosity. There's also a practical one. People with needs need their needs met. Generosity often meets needs, but the other piece of it is that those people will start to thank God because God somehow showed up in their life through that. You have no idea how many testimonies I heard even just after the first service of people saying, "Ah, I just did this week. I decided that I was going to give this to that person. And when I did it, I wasn't sure if I could or should, or I kind of wanted it." And I actually had someone come up to me and say they stretched themselves, gave a specific gift to someone that they wanted for themselves, and God gave them that plus in the very same week. I don't know how God does it. I don't know what it's supposed to mean. It doesn't always happen the exact same way, but I do know God wants us to bless others. If you have an overflow in your life, which you will when you decide to create margin and give to God, when you have an overflow in your life, decide not to build bigger barns, decide how to move it to other people. Worship team, you can come on up. You know, when we sit in a service like this, there's all sorts of people landing at all sorts of different spots here. Some of you are rich in money. Some of you have lots of money. And I'll tell you what I'll never say to you. I will never say to you, you should have not lots of money. You should be poor. I'll never say, all of us, we need to figure out how to be poor. That's not what I'm saying to any of you. But I am saying that in your circumstance, in your situation, when you clearly have an overflow, when you have too much, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to continue the flow from God? How are you going to continue the flow that led to the overflow in the first place? It's got to flow out of you if it's going to flow into you. How is your household going to be blessed continually? It's going to be because you're shoving the overflow out. You're blessing others. You're caring for others. You're looking after. And by the way, when you do that, they will see God. They'll see Jesus. Their lives will be impacted and changed by you. But some of you in the room are poor. Some of you have very little money. And the tendency in a service like this can be like, yes, finally, someone's going to give me something. No, that's not what anyone's saying right now. What people are saying to you right now is you have something to give. You don't have to be rich to have something to give. In fact, you are rich when you know Christ and when you know the life that he's given to you. We know the hope that he's given to you. And I know that can sometimes sound trivial. Well, I don't have that much, and you're calling me rich. Man. Jesus, by the way, pretty poor. Said he had no house to live in, no nothing. That video that we just watched, tearing all the paper, Jesus didn't have a lot of the things that guy was blessed with that most of us have. But he can bless you to be a blessing. We're all trying to define whether we're rich or not. The problem is that we're often looking to the wrong sources. We're trying to decide if we're rich, and we always look at just someone who's richer than us. Say, am I rich? Nah, they're richer. Guess not. Look around the world. You might find that you're rich. The other thing that we look at sometimes is we say, am I rich? Nah, there's lots of things I still want. But if that adjustment took place and said, I'm so thankful for the things that I have, we might stop asking for so many things that we want. Start recognizing that things we have, we already maybe haven't been that great of stewards with. And we need to learn how to be generous, how to be thankful, how to be honoring of God, how to trust him, and how to care for others. And so today, if wherever you land, I want you to know something. God wants to bless your life abundantly. God has blessed your life abundantly. God wants you to open your eyes to see the great things in your life. He wants you to learn generosity, and he wants you to learn it through gratitude, through being thankful for what you have, so that you can know that what you have is worth giving. As you do that, keep your eyes open. The overflow will come. Your barns are going to get fuller and fuller. It's going to start pouring out everywhere, and people are going to be blessed. This morning in the first service, right after it, I had this picture of myself standing in the lobby with a coffee. And I have this kind of cheesy gold coffee mug. But I pictured coffee flowing out of my mug, the overflow, right? And there's all these people walking around with little cups, empty. And they're walking around with little cups empty, and I'm standing there with an overflowing cup, and I go call someone, hey, can you grab me a cup? This thing's overflowing. I need a bigger cup. I just get a bigger cup, pour it in, and there we go. That's better. And all these cups are still sitting there empty. Now, what we need to do is instead look and say, wow, my cup is overflowing. Something good is happening here, and someone needs it. Doesn't mean they necessarily need your money. They need whatever is overflowing. Whatever God is overflowing in you, he's overflowing for someone else. What does it look like to connect that overflow with a cup that's empty? What does it look like to find the empty cup, get it underneath of yours, and fill that thing up? So he's not even asking you to dip into your cup. No, I'm not going to take away your coffee, just the overflow. Just what's pouring out over top and above of what you already have. Let it land in someone else's cup rather than going and finding a bigger cup so you can make sure you get it all for yourself. Is that all right? Does that make sense? Amen. Lord, I just pray that you'd meet each of us in this day. Help us to know, Lord, your word says that to whom much has been given, much is required. Help us to know, Lord, that much has been given to us. Well, most of us got to turn on lights today. Most of us got to drink from our tap today, or at least had running water. Most of us got to sleep in a cushioned bed with blankets and likely had heat in our house. Jesus, we are so blessed. Help us to recognize it. Help us to recognize the overflow that's happened in our life. Thank you, Lord, that just your presence is overflow. Just your relationship with us is overflow. Just you giving us peace in this crazy time is overflow. Lord, help us all to recognize that we do indeed have something to give, and that as we give, people's lives will be changed. That generosity will shape this city. That generosity will shock this city, Lord. That people will come to know Jesus. Us because he blesses people and people of God bless others. Lord, I pray that the overflow would continue to take place. It would land all over the city, spill out over the city. Lord, we ask for more from you and more from us, Jesus, to this city. We pray for more people to know you because of it. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand up together? They're going to sing, You Are Good. You Are Good. God, You Are Good. But if you today are new here, or you want to get to know us, or something impacted you in the service today, we'd love for you to fill out a connect card. Let us know about it. We'll follow up with you, and we'd love to get you plugged into the community. We love you. Have a great day. We'll see you next week at the first service for Consumed.